I want to invite your attention this morning to the Word of God, recorded in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, in the last three verses of that chapter, page 139, in the Pew Bibles, 139, Romans chapter 5. I've read verses 19 through 21, but I'll single one of those out as a focus verse this morning. And it's the latter verse, verse 21, and it tells us that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. Would you join with me in prayer? Our dear God and eternal Father, You know our needs every moment of our lives. You know them before we do. For You are God Almighty. And You see and know our future as well as our present. Oftentimes we do not know what we will need until we encounter the need. But I know, Lord, that You have made grace and preparation for us to provide for our needs. And I do pray today that my voice will be strong enough to preach Thy Word, to share the Word with Thy people, that they can hear and their hearts receive it. And it will get glory, O Lord, to Thy name in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So may all power in heaven and earth be manifest in our hearts and in our minds to see Jesus as Thy only begotten Son, and our beloved Savior, and the one these verses are about. And as we see Jesus by faith through Your Word, O Lord, may we worship Him all the more as our dear Lord and our Savior. Have mercy upon Thy people, O Lord. Each and every one of us need Your blessings in some way or another. I beg You to bless Thy people, to help them in their needs, to bless Thy Word unto their hearts, that as they leave today, they can carry it with them in their hearts and in their minds, be able to share it with other people as well. And Lord, we do continue to pray for Brother Steve. We know that the decision is not an easy one. And we know he needs grace. He needs the leadership of Thy Spirit. And he needs peace in his heart when he has felt led to that decision, that he will be at peace and Satan will not cause him to question or doubt the decision he's made. Lord, do bless all Thy churches and all Thy ministering servants. O Lord, grant us grace as we try to present Jesus in Thy Word and in the truth of it. And bless, dear Lord, our nation, the leaders of it, not asking You, Lord, to bless us in our sin and our rebellion to You, except to say, have mercy on us, O Lord, and give us the leaders who will guide us in the right paths, paths that are in Thy ways, according to Thy Word, and then bless, O Lord, as they lead. Defeat those who would try to overcome Thy cause and kingdom, as You defeated kings who often came against Israel. And so Your power is not diminished in our day. You can defeat their legislations, their decisions, their actions can come to naught because they are resisting the one true and living God. And we'll praise You, Lord, and try to worship You in spirit and truth as we do this day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The title that I've given my sermon this morning is Bad News and Good News. Have you ever had anybody to say to you or known someone to whom this was said, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news, which you want first? Well, sometimes that actually happens. Sometimes a person maybe is not having the best of health, and I go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, well, I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is you've got to have an operation. Good news, that ought to take care of it. And sometimes when you're faced with that dilemma, they'll say, well, which do you want first? You want bad news, good news? And there are some people who would say, well, give me the bad news first, and maybe the good news will kind of help put a little balm on the wound. And others would say, well, give me the good news first, maybe it'll give me strength to be able to bear the bad news. I guess we're all a little different when it comes to things like that, but life is filled with times of good news and bad news. And I want to talk about that today from this spiritual perspective of these verses in the book of Romans and other verses I'll call your attention to. What I want you to see is that in this passage, and I think I've seen it here more than any other passage that I've called to remembrance, but in this passage, there is the idea of bad news and good news. And I've listed it that way, bad news first, then good news, because that's the way it seems to be so prominent in this passage. In other words, back in verse 19, what does it say? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's bad news, isn't it? Well, if you want to know who that one man was, look back at verse number 12, this same chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That man's name was none other than Adam, a man God created in his image and likeness. By Adam's sin, we're all plunged into our depravity and sinful nature. The bad news is, by one man's sin, or one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But the good news is this: so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that one is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can look back up at verse 15 and you'll see that. It says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So, see, Adam is the bad news. Adam is the man that sinned, ate the forbidden fruit that God said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And he died in sin and plummeted all of us into that sin and depravity. And so that's the bad news. But the good news is that there came one in the world, and Paul mentions him in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the second Adam, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First man, Adam, plummeted us into sin and depravity. But it is the second Adam, the Lord of glory, that has by his sacrificial death and amazing grace lifted us out of it. So, by one man disobedient, that's bad news. By the obedience of one, many made righteous, that's good news. And then in verse 20 it says, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. That's bad news. Wasn't just Adam affected by it, bounds to us. So, there's that offense that might abound. But good news, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the last verse, our focus verse, verse 21, the same is true of it. Bad news, that as sin hath reigned unto death, and sin does reign unto death, whether we like it or not, or want to believe it or not, it does. But as sin hath reigned unto death, there's bad news, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Not by our works, not by the church, not by baptism, not by anything you might think that's of religious nature. No, it's by Jesus Christ, our Lord, and Him alone. That's the good news. Now, I've done this recently in some of my sermons. I'm going to do it again today. I'm going to carry you back into the Old Testament very briefly. Hang on to where you are because we're coming back. But I want you to see that this principle of bad news, good news, didn't just begin with Paul's writing in the New Testament. We're going to Isaiah chapter 64. Very familiar major prophet of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 64. We're going to look at verses 6 and 8. We're going to again get the bad news. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." That is, taken us away from God. And so there's a great barrier between us and God, and that's sin. That's the bad news. All is an unclean thing. Every last one of us is an unclean thing. Our iniquities, as a leaf that fades, oh, they've taken us away from God. That's the bad news. Here's the good news in verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thy hands." It's what God's done for us. So that's the good news. And I think it can really be boiled down and reduced to those ideas that the bad news is what we do as mortals and what other mortals have done. The good news is what God has done for us. Now, continuing that thought, I want to share with you a little of the bad news. And I know you think, well, preacher, you know, don't have enough bad news to deal with. I'm sure we all do. If you really think about it, man seldom gives us anything but the bad news. Have you noticed that? You watch the news at night. You watch for how much good news they give you. It is rare, if ever, they will give you any good news. Now, personally, I have advocated for years that they ought to give you 15 minutes of bad news and then follow it by 15 minutes of good news to kind of pick you up a little bit. But they put their hand on the back and they just run you down in a ditch till you're fat, flat on your face in the ditch, and give you all the bad news about what everybody over yonder has been doing and what bad over here, everything's been going on that's bad over here. And by the time you get through listening to the news, you're so down you have to get up off the floor to walk again. And if they just say, well, there's a lot of bad going on and people want to know what's going on in the world, we give it to you, but we'll give you some good news too. Kind of lift you back up and get you going again. But they don't seem to want to do that, do they? You know, they're playing on the depravity of our mortal flesh. If people want to hear the bad news, not the good news, and that's often true. But here's the bad news. None are good. Oh, you say, wait a minute, preacher, you've got to be mistaken. There's some good people in this world, not according to God's word, and not in the sight of God. Now, let's get it out of our heads and get it into the head of God. See, we want to look at it and say, oh, I could list the names of a lot of good people. Well, you know, somebody said, you know any good people? Well, I could list y'all's names. Many of you just write your name down or tell them who you are. I say, that's a good man, that's a good woman, that's a good boy, that's a good girl. But when we're not looking at it as man looks at it, we're looking at it as God sees us all. How many are there that are good? Well, right here in this book of Romans, let's flip back to the third chapter and start at verse number 10. And let's see what God says about this question. Romans 3, verse 10. "As it is written," I want you to get that. I circle that little word written. You know what that says? You're going to find this in the Old Testament. "As it is written," here it is, "there is none righteous, no, not one." Now let's read on. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." He's talking about on their own now. "They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." You know where you're going to find that? You can get this as an assignment to read this afternoon or next week. But in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3, it's repeated in those two places. "There's none good that doeth good, no, not one." You say, well, now, preacher, I don't understand that. I know there are people that do things that are good, yeah, but it's an outgrowth of the grace of God. He's talking here, and if you go and look at that carefully, he's talking about man and his fallen nature. You see, a lot of people want to base, they say, well, you know, I see some good in people's lives. Why, they make big donations to the church, or that person, they helped somebody get to the doctor, or they went and visited them in the hospital. There are people that are doing good things. But you know what? It grows really out of the grace of God. And if it's done by a person, listen carefully now, if it is done by a person who is not born again, who is not saved, even if they do the same action in God's sight, it's not a good action. It's no good. You know why? I can tell you. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so when a person looks and says, well, I don't believe in God. I don't have any faith in God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't go to church. But I gave money to some good organization. I did more good than all that church full of Christians. God would look down and say, you didn't do it because you didn't have faith in your heart and it wasn't done with the right motive. You know, folks, listen. When we do things for our vainglory, for man to pat us on the back, that doesn't count very good in God's sight. Did you know that? You read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about a man who got everybody's attention before he gave his alms to the poor. Jesus said he wanted to be seen of men. He got what he wanted. You think God counted that good? No. It wasn't in God's sight. He was doing it for himself. He's doing it for own vainglory. When somebody might give enough to build a church, but they got to have their name on it. Whose glory are they doing it for? God's glory or their glory? See, it comes down to that. We've got to look at it as God sees. Well, Jesus mentioned another group that stood on the street corner. And the Jews had, as I understand it, one of their common postures of prayer was to stand hands up, lifted, palms up, looking toward heaven. That's where they pray. So, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody standing there on the corner of the street like that, most Jews knew he was praying. But Jesus said, if you're out there, you know, and you look like you're praying, but you're doing it to be seen of men, they'll see you. You got your reward, and that's all there is to it. And he went on to say, even fasting, which something out of their depth of the soul, and yet they don't do it that way. They put ashes on their face so that everybody would see them and know they were fasting. And he said, if you've done it to be seen of men, you've got your reward. That's all you did it for, was your own glory and your own praise. In other words, motive does make a difference in the sight of God. So, in the sight of God, to look at man and say, mankind and all depravity and sin, they may do something that in the eyes of men looks pretty good, but it doesn't stack up in the sight of God. So, there's none that doth good. And second thing, the bad news is that, because that is true, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, and it means me. And it means your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister and the best person you know on this earth. It means them too. All have sinned. You want to know why? Look at Romans 3:23. In fact, that same chapter, go down a little further. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's bad news. But all have sinned. Bad news because it means I've sinned, means you've sinned. Now, some people don't want to look at it that way. They don't want to believe that. They say, well, listen, they live a good moral life. We're all sinners, folks. Compared to God, we're all sinners. And that's what we're trying to look at today. Bad news, we've all sinned. Let me give you some more bad news. If you hadn't got enough. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times mean hard or difficult times. And that's in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul was saying to the younger preacher Timothy that you need to know this, young fella. You need to know that there's coming some perilous times in the last days. And I know we could look back to the times when my mother lived and there was a a breakdown in the economy and just terrible on this nation. Say, well, maybe that was the perilous times he's talking about. We could go to World War I or World War II and say, maybe that's the perilous times he's talking about. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm convinced we are living in the last days. Now, how many days there are, I don't know. Maybe they accumulate to a number of years. I don't know. Maybe it's 100 years or more. I don't know. But in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hard time, difficult time. And it is conviction of my heart, we are living in hard and difficult times today. You say, well, the economy's getting a little bit better. A few more people got jobs. Gas prices are falling a little bit. Is that all it amounts to? But all the crime and the violence and the terrorism, and our hearts are filled with fear all the time for what's going on in the world around us. We're living in hard and difficult times. We really are. We're living in a time where there's such a low spiritual ebb in our country. These are hard and difficult times for us Christians. And I don't see a chance it's going to turn around anytime soon except God intervene and help us to have some leaders who are leading the right way. But perilous times would come. You know why I know there are perilous times we're living in? He described a lot of them. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, we got that, don't we? Unthankful, unholy. We got those too. I mean, if you go and read in that, and you take and read those verses, about six of them in there, five of them really between the first and the seventh verse, and it talks about all those various problems, most of which can be seen in our world today. But the seventh verse says this, that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think we're living in the best educated time period probably the world has ever known. There's always been some higher education around, I think. But we're living in a day where there are more people going to college probably than any time in the history of our country, or unless maybe it's just right recently, little fluctuations. But I know when my mother came along, there was not a very strong percentage of people who even finished high school, much less went to college. And yet in this day of great enlightenment in education, we are ever learning, and we are. We're learning. The evidence of that is the computer and smartphones and all the technology we've got. But we're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can have someone with 3 doctorate degrees, but that won't tell them about the God of heaven. This book will. And you can get all the education you want, all the knowledge you can acquire. It will not bring you to God. That takes God's Spirit at work in your heart and soul. And He can do it for the poorest and the richest, for the best educated, the most illiterate. God's Spirit can come to all. The bad news is we're living in perilous days, and with all of our learning, we've still not been able to come to the truth. They still don't know who created this place. Did you know that? The highest learned people of our world today do not know who made this world. The highest leaders of the countries of this world don't know who God is for the greater part. They can't come to the knowledge of the truth. These are hard and perilous days living in a world like that. Now, there's a little more bad news, and I'm going to quit and move on to the better one. I'm going to try to live by what I suggested. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. You believe that? It's happening in many countries of this world today. If you're a Christian, it'll cost you your life if you're not careful. I am no doomsday prophet, but I'm going to stand here and tell you today, it's starting in America. You watch it. It's tippy-toeing right now. But when it gets enough momentum, they'll start telling us what we can and cannot believe, what we can and we cannot preach, and there'll be prosecution on the basis of it. Yes, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You didn't want to hear that today, did you? Well, you need to get your head out of the sand and know it's coming. But there's another one, and then I'm through on this negative side. Evil men, and that's the 12th verse of 2 Timothy 3. The next verse says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, it's going to get worse. As bad as it is, it's going to get worse. We don't like to hear that. It's the bad news. A lot of bad news. I understand that. Now let me turn it over. Let me go to the good news. The rest of my sermon is going to be about the good news. You are loved by God. Isn't that good news to you? That God loves you with an everlasting love, and because of that everlasting love, He's drawn you to Him by His Holy Spirit and His power, according to Jeremiah 31:3. Loves us with an everlasting love. He loved us enough that His Son would die for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends, which is John 15, verse number 13. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand, with all the bad news you see on television, with all the bad news you read in the newspaper, with all the bad news everybody's telling you today, there's good news. Thank God there's good news. And that is that God loves us. And He loves us more than any other person is capable of loving us. Second thing, and I'm going to hurry along, I won't spend too much time on these, but I want to remind you, you are not only loved, you are forgiven of your sins. I know that because in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 he says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're forgiven. That's one of the most beautiful words to me in the English language, forgiven. We're forgiven by God, against whom we have sinned. Number three, we are saved by God's amazing grace. We're loved with His perfect everlasting love. We are forgiven of our sins by God our Heavenly Father. And we are saved by His amazing grace. And in Ephesians 2 verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ, parentheses, by grace, you're saved. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. See, this grace is best news of all. His love's a part of it, and His forgiveness is a part of it, but grace. God is a God of infinite grace. And that's what the gospel, the Word of God, is about. It's the good news of the gospel. It is about the grace of God. And that's the marvelous thing about the good news. You can read the newspaper, you'll get bad news most of the time. You watch television, most of the time you're going to get bad news. But this is the gospel of the grace of God. It's the way Paul put it. It's the gospel of the grace. You know what gospel is? It's Anglo-Saxon for good news. Remember Jesus said when they imprisoned John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. There's good news in God's word. I knew a dear old lady many, many years ago when I was a young preacher. She had no way to get from the house anywhere except her 2 feet. She was a very poor widow lady. She didn't see herself as poor because she believed in what God's grace had done for her. She loved her church, but there was always somebody to get her and carry her there too. Somebody called her on the phone one day and asked her, said, you know, was telling her some bad news, and said, you know, you don't ever hear anything good anymore, do you? She said, oh, yes, I do. She said, well, when have you heard something good? Said, last Sunday at church. She went to church, to the house of God. She heard the word of God. She heard the good news. The good news that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for us. That when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And that's Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to live in a body of flesh that was born of the Virgin Mary, to live without any sin. Why? That He might die for us. That's another part of the good news. I delivered unto you, Paul said, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's good news, folks. That's good news. That Christ would die for my sins and yours. Could I die for your sins and pay them? No. Could you die for mine and pay them? No. But Christ could die for yours and mine and pay them. And He did. That's good news. It's the thing that keeps me going sometime in this world filled with so much darkness and evil. But that's not all of it, you see. The Bible also says right here in this book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are in Christ because we've been chosen in Him, Ephesians 1:4. We've been created in Him, Ephesians 2:10, I believe it is. We are in Christ, new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ and He died for our sins, then there is now no condemnation to us because of what Christ did for us. There's another little segment of this wonderful news. He is coming back. Our Lord and Savior is coming back one glorious day. I do not know when, but I do know He is coming because the Bible says He is. It doesn't say if He comes anywhere that I know of. It usually says when He comes. When He comes is saying He's coming. We just don't know when. And really, God does deal with us. I've said this before, I'll say it again, on the basis of need to know. All I need to know is He's coming. All you need to know is He's coming again. I don't need to know when. It won't matter when. If I'm still breathing air, that's okay. He'll take me home. If I'm lying in a grave somewhere, He'll raise me up. It doesn't matter when. It only matters He's coming again. That's good news, folks. No matter what comes and goes, no matter who the president might be or who kings of other nations might be, the world is ever changing. It doesn't matter, really. The depravity of man is always there. The good news, there's one who is going to come again, and it does matter eternally that He comes. The Lord Himself, is what the Bible says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's as good as it gets, isn't it? He didn't die to save us from our sins, just leave us here. He died to save us from our sins so we could live in heaven with Him. World without end. That's the good news. Now I'll close by saying this. What ought we to do with such wonderful knowledge? Simply put, two things. We ought to go out from this place and share it with somebody. There's somebody out there that needs to know it. That the only news in the world is not bad news, there's good news. And we can share it with them and it might brighten somebody's day. But more importantly, we need to thank God our Father that He gave His only begotten Son to come into the world and die and save us. And give us the good news of His Word. Though sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And as sin has reigned to death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news of the gospel. God bless it to lift your heart in all these days of darkness and difficulty is my prayer. For the glory of our Savior and in His name I pray.